My guest now is Tony Auth, the Pulitzer Prize-winning editorial cartoonist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's been with us a few times on the show in the past. We asked him to visit with us today so we could discuss a new children's book that he's illustrated. It's titled That Game from Outer Space. It's written by Stephen Maines. The story is about Oscar Noodleman, who hangs out at Yui's Pizza Parlor, doing odd jobs so he can get paid quarters with which he can play the video games and save money to buy a home video game. He's never scored high enough to get his name emblazoned across one of the video game scoreboard until a video game from outer space lands in the pizza parlor, which only he can master. That Game from Outer Space, illustrated by Tony Auth, has just been published by Dutton. Tony, I really enjoyed the book. It's nice to see you, and welcome back to Fresh Air.
Thank you, Terry.
How did you get started illustrating children's books?
Well, it's been an interest of mine for a long time. There is actually a connection between political cartoonists and children's book illustrators. Ernest Shepherd was a political cartoonist. He's most famous now for illustrating Winnie the Pooh and The Wind in the Willows. Arthur Zike, Tennille was a political cartoonist as well as the illustrator of Alice in Wonderland. I started collecting children's books right after college, actually, because it's one of the few outlets for graphic artists now that is meaningful.
Yeah, no adult books are ever illustrated.
No, I'd enjoy an
illustrated book.
Yeah, well, I always have, and it's a genre that is in many ways misnamed. You know, they're called children's books because that's somehow how it fits into a nice category. But a lot of the world's finest illustrators are into this field, and they're doing great work.
Has doing this book gotten you to think about some of your favorite books when you were young?
Well, most of my favorite books when I was actually young were comic books. I didn't get turned on to kids' books, picture books, and things like that until college when I took a class in children's literature. But I was actually hospitalized for about a year and a half when I was five and spent a lot of time listening to the radio, drawing pictures, and, you know, there was a lot of radio drama then, and I would try and draw pictures based on what I heard on the radio. There were also a lot of comic books that involved the same characters, so there was that audio-visual link.
Do you ever feel bad that you missed the classic children's literature?
Not really. I wonder how things might have turned out differently, but there's no point in pursuing that.
Did you find yourself thinking, what age group am I illustrating for?
No, I've learned through doing the political cartoons not to worry about your audience. The only way you can succeed as an artist, I think, is to try and please yourself. Talking to some editors at Dutton when I first got into this, they put it in a nice phrase. They said, what you've got to do is find out how old the child is in you that you're going to illustrate for. So based on this, I think he's about 10 or 11.
What's appropriate of that age to you?
Well, I realized I had read several manuscripts and was rejecting them. I was looking specifically for something involving fantasy, science fiction possibly, but I wanted it pre-adolescent. I didn't want sex to intervene with all the baggage that brings along.
Well, this one has a lot to do with video games. Did you go to the arcades to play them before illustrating the book?
Not really. I was sort of an Asteroids freak for a while there, so I had done the research without realizing it.
There's one that's really fun in which he's using one of the bank machines
right.
to get money, but he thinks of it as being just another video game.
Well, I liked that part of the book. It, you know, if it's funny, with all the whimsical names that are attached to the bank machines now, you know, Pac-Man is not very far removed from Mr. Bankman or Ed or George or whoever.
That's really true. Is there a different style of illustration you use for a book than you would for your nearly daily cartoons in the Inquirer?
Well, I like to change the style of the drawing that I do day after day, depending on the content of the drawing. And that's a nice thing about books. With a book, though, all the drawings have to match. They have to be part of a set. So what I tried to do was to come up with a style of drawing that went well with the entire book. But one of the things I'm looking forward to in doing children's books is experimenting, changing styles, working in pencil, working in color, you know.
So you're going to be reading more manuscripts and seeing which ones you
Yeah, well, I'm working now on a picture book that's going to be all color, and it will be aimed at, I guess, a much younger market. But it's a lot of fun, and it gives me the chance to spread a project out over 5 or 6 months as opposed to this day-after-day relentlessness of the political cartooning, which I love. It's just a very different thing.
Since you and I would both like to read, quote, adult books with illustrations, do you think that's a trend that will ever get established, and I'm not talking about official art books now, but rather just nicely illustrated fiction.
It doesn't look like it. I was talking to somebody from one of the chains recently, and they told me that next year they expect that books about computers will outsell fiction, which just, you know, knocked me out. That's all fiction.
Tony Auth is my guest, if you're just joining us. Do you see any other connections for yourself between your work as a political cartoonist and as a book illustrator?
Yeah, it's in political cartooning, I very specifically address the problems of racism and militarism and the possibility of nuclear holocaust, which are the dragons that exist in the world. And especially fairy tales are just magnificent and less didactic ways of addressing the dilemmas that humans face, you know, more metaphorically.
I can't remember who wrote this book, and I wasn't even reading the book, but rather a review of it, in which he wrote that Babar, the whole Babar the Elephant series, was actually very imperialist because it's about, you know, white, high-cultured queens and kings coming into an African country. And I'd never really thought of it that way, but looking at it with that meaning, I found myself getting really depressed because this wonderfully illustrated book started to have a pretty negative meaning.
Apparently, a lot of the third world intellectuals really resent American culture, or a lot of it. You get those beliefs. Disney is specifically very much hated, I'm told.
Have you gone to see the reissue of Snow White?
Not yet. I'm planning on it.
Are you interested in animation?
Oh, yes, very much.
Would you ever do it?
Probably. A group of seven political cartoonists planned for some years, actually, and tried to get some animated political cartoons on television. And the technology is there. It can be done very easily. We were talking about providing a storyboard the night before it would be run, and with using computers and some artists, it could be made into 35, 40-second little movies with sound. They'd be wonderful. Television was just scared. They didn't want that controversy. They didn't know what we were going to do, and that really scared them. They said, well, if one of you does an attack on an oil company, will one of you defend the oil companies? And we said, you know, we don't know. So that just went nowhere, and I don't know whether that'll come.
Maybe you'd have to do it independently.
Well, I think we'd have to get it on the network for it to be doable at all, because it is expensive.
Well, controversy is your business at the Philadelphia Inquirer, where you're the editorial cartoonist. You've been doing editorial cartoons for several years, I don't know.
12.
Mm-hmm. Has that affected your own political commitment or involvement? Some people who've been doing news for a while tell me that they feel more detached the more they do it.
No, I don't feel more detached. I feel ever more skeptical, I think. Seeing, you know, it seems almost as if Americans have very, very short political memories. And I forget who it was that defined cartoonists as having very long memories. Part of the job is just reminding people of things and twisting things around and making juxtapositions that are sometimes uncomfortable.
When we see one of your cartoons, is it safe to assume that it's your personal political viewpoint that we're reading? Do you always agree with the statement in a cartoon?
Oh, always. Yeah, I don't know how you would do a cartoon if you didn't agree with it. The editors of the Inquirer like differences of opinion and controversy, and in fact, I'm encouraged to be as independent as possible.
What happens when your cartoon contradicts what the majority of the people on the editorial board feel on a subject?
Nothing. It just runs.
That's,
you know,
acceptable?
Well, I talk to my editor about... Actually, I don't... I go to the editorial meetings and try and influence what gets said in the editorials. But then everybody leaves and I show the editor what I'm planning on doing. And he reacts to it. He'll say, you know, fine or great or what's that about or I don't understand it or whatever. Usually we're talking about whether or not the cartoon works successfully, not about the political content. If he disagrees with the political content, he'll tell me why, and then it's up to me to either accept or reject his input, depending on whether or not I feel like doing it.
Does having to have so many opinions ever become a burden?
Well, it's No, there's so much going on, you know. It's really, it's not a problem. There are days when I, you know, when I would like to be taking the day off or something, but not very often, and I've never come up dry, so.
Is it more fun for you to have, for instance, Reagan in power, who you can disagree with on most issues? Does that give you more
No,
more
this
material?
Is what people say every time a new president comes in. What are you going to do without Johnson? What are you going to do without Nixon? What are you going to do without Carter? What, you know, it's every administration brings a new kind of slant to things. The dilemma that cartoonists have is that the more they think an administration or a policy or whatever is bad for the world, the better we are off as professionals. But that's not something we delight in, really.
What has Reagan and his administration brought to you that's special about it that you can work with?
Well, I think Reagan is pretty easy to work with because he's so honest about the damage that he's doing all over the place and so upfront about it. Well, for instance, you know, he's systematically gone about either undercutting, undermining, gutting, or destroying the Department of Education, the environment, human health and services. And then he cuts back on the food programs, and then he comes out and, you know, points a search group for hunger, and it's just ridiculous. Also, the thing I really love about Reagan is that apparently, unless something happens in a movie, he doesn't really believe in it. He told, if you can believe this, an audience of Holocaust survivors that some people said the Holocaust never happened, but Reagan knew that it did because he'd seen films of it after the war.
Did you use that in a cartoon?
No, no. I've used a kind of fairy tale film motif on several occasions. I didn't specifically. I just filed that, you know, for further reference.
Has he ever commented on your cartoons?
Not that I know of. We're told that he regards The Enquirer as the most hostile newspaper in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
Which cartoons that you've done recently have provoked the most reader response?
Let's see. Well, it's the summer. You don't hear much from readers during the
They're
summer.
They're all on vacation, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, or too hot to write or whatever. But Central America, I think, people have very strong feelings about that.
I had asked you this once before, but do you ever worry about getting burned out, like when you've been writing without a real vacation for a few months? What do you do to relieve that constant pressure of having to come up with something several times a week?
Well, what I find when I begin to feel that way is helpful is to go to movies or read books. You know, what happens is you need more input in order to have output.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that your style's changing at all, the kind of drawing that you do?
Yeah, hope so. I constantly experiment and play with different ways of doing things. It's one of the things that keeps this from becoming boring.
You said that you used to read all the comic books when you were young. You still reading them?
No.
Why not?
Well, now I don't find them as interesting as I did then.
You think the illustration is any less interesting?
I think the illustration is probably more interesting, but the comic books I see just, you know, they don't have well, I'm grown up now, you know, they're just not as interesting. I subscribed to heavy metal for a while thinking that it might be a really valuable source of input, but it's not. It's very adolescent in the worst sense of that word.
Do you read other people's political cartoons?
When I see them, I read a lot of publications. I don't make an effort to see everything that's being done, but I see a lot of them kind of in that way.
You don't worry about inadvertently taking somebody's idea. I think that happens a lot when you're reading people who do something similar to what you do.
Well, the interesting thing about this is that different cartoonists bring a different, if not exactly point of view, because some of us share the same point of view to a certain extent, but they bring a different slant to things so that I don't feel like I'm competing with people at all. And in fact, we sort of act as catalysts for each other, if anything, I think.
Is there a network of editorial cartoonists?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you have formal gatherings?
Not so much formal, but there are a group of about six or eight of us that are very, very close, and we try and get together at least three or four times a year. Jules Pfeiffer and Jeff McNally and Doug Marlette, Mike Peters, some others. We find excuses to show up in the same city.
Well, now that the book that you illustrated is published, that game from outer space, are you playing the role of the author and looking for it in bookstores? And
I'm looking unsuccessfully for it in bookstores. I haven't seen it yet, except in a couple of Center City bookstores. This is a new experience for me. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, what do you think of the publishing world from this perspective now? You've had a book before of your collected political cartoons.
Well, I like the people at Dutton very much. They're very enjoyable to work with. You know, what makes a book successful or whether it will be bought by stores, I have no knowledge about that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to wish you luck with the book and, of course, with your cartoons, which I always enjoy, and I want to thank you for being
here.
Thank
you, Terry.
And Tony Auth has been my guest, and he's the editorial cartoonist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And he's illustrated a new book that's just been published by Dutton. The author of the book is Stephen Maines, and the book is called That Game from Outer Space. And it's about a video game that lands in a pizza parlor and is mastered by somebody there who is saving up all his quarters for video games. So that book is called That Game from Outer Space, and it's just been published by Dutton.